What about the love of God? What do the scriptures say about it? Is there anyone that God especially loves, or are there special comments made about it in the Word of God? Does God ever point out someone that's greatly loved by himself, or does he love everyone the same? These are some of the questions I'll address in this message, Jesus the Beloved. My text is taken from Matthew 3:17. The occasion is the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist, and Jesus has just come up out of the water. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Matthew 3:17. Notice the words, "my beloved Son." Let me give that to you out of some other versions. The New International Version reads, "my Son, whom I love." The New Revised Standard Version reads, "my Son, the Beloved." It's evidence that God does not love Jesus Christ, the Son, in an ordinary way as he loves others. In fact, the expression "beloved" comes from a rather unique Greek word. It's a noun, not a verb or an adjective. It carries the sense, "this is the one that I love." From the standpoint of language, the word means esteemed, dear, or even favorite, very much loved or dearest. When considering the Son, it's evident that there are differing measures of God's love. He certainly does not love everyone the same, and his only begotten Son is a case in point. Those who make statements that represent God as loving everyone the same, or that God's love is unconditional, ought to cease from making such statements, for they're misrepresenting God. Further, they betray a lack of understanding of God and have not looked into their subject with integrity. They have adopted the jargon of others instead of speaking in strict harmony with the Word of God. There can be no such thing as be loved if there's only one measure of love and it's expressed toward everyone without any discrimination at all. The statement of our text is repeated in the account of Christ's transfiguration, which took place at least 2 years later. Thereafter, Jesus' face and even his clothing had been altered by the bursting forth of his glory. God spoke from heaven again and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Matthew 17:5. God did not simply say Jesus was his Son, but his beloved Son, especially loved, in a unique and transcendent way. Peter referred to this incident in his first epistle, saying that Jesus, when he was transfigured, received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." 2 Peter 1:17. Now let's confirm that God does, in fact, have a very special and unique love for his only begotten Son. Isaiah prophesied that God would have a special regard for the Messiah, who would be his own Son. Isaiah 42:1-2 reads, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street." In his gospel, Matthew refers to this passage as being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Here's what he said, "Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets." Matthew 12:18-19. Ephesians 1:6 refers to Jesus as the beloved, or as the NIV reads, "the one he loves." In his teaching, Jesus made a point of the Father's love for him. He declared, "For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that he himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel." John 5:20. John the Baptist said of Jesus, "The Father loves the Son, and hath given all things into his hand." John 3:35. In his prayer to God on the night of his betrayal, Jesus made reference to the way in which God the Father loved him. "And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." John 17:26. Jesus is also referred to as God's dear Son, Colossians 1:13. There you see how Jesus did not want the Father to love his disciples in some ordinary or common way. He rather asked the Father to love his disciples as the Father had loved him. If that is not a unique and special love, then there is no point to his request. There is no other love like that which God has for the Son. Jesus said it was the kind of love that moved the Father to show all things that he himself doeth to the Son. Listen to this remarkable expression of the unique love that the Father has for the Son, who is his beloved. "For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that he himself doeth, and will show him greater things than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him." John 5:20-23. Ponder the greatness of that love. God has hidden nothing from the Son, but has shown him everything that he's doing. Of every other man it is written, but who hath known the mind of the Lord? Romans 11:34. It is said of every person in Christ, no matter how advanced they are, we know in part and we prophesy in part. But that cannot be said of Jesus. The Father has shown him everything that he's doing, and Jesus said God would continue to do so. That is, when Jesus returned to heaven, God continued to do nothing without telling to and involving the Son. That is the kind of love he has for him. The Father loves the Son to such a remarkable degree that he's given all judgment to him. He has also determined that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. Those who do not honor the Son do not honor the Father who sent him. Now that's special love, to be sure. God has such a great love for his Son that he loves those who love his Son and believe that he came out from God. That obviously means that there's some sense in which God does not love everyone. Here's what Jesus told his disciples. Tell me if you think this is an unconditional love. For the Father himself loveth you because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. John 16:27. Who does not see that loving Jesus and believing that he came out from God is a condition that must be met to experience God's love? And this is not the only place Jesus spoke in this manner. Here's what he said in John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Tell me now, is that a condition or not? Jesus, who knows all things, and to whom the Father has shown all things, says that if a person has his commandments and keeps them, he will be loved of my Father. And then Jesus says, I will love him. Oh, it does not stop there. Two verses later, Jesus reaffirms the discriminating nature of God's love. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. John 14:23. Jesus does not say my Father loves everyone, but affirms that if a man will love him and keep his words, not allowing them to get away from him, my Father will love him. Now how can anyone read those words and say that God loves men unconditionally? Or does anyone care to say that loving Jesus and keeping his words are not conditions? But let me get even more to the point here. The truth of the matter is that God's love for humanity is funneled, as it were, through the Son. The great expression of John 3:16 accents this truth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. These are the words of Jesus himself, spoken to Nicodemus on the night he came to talk with our Lord. He did not say, God loves the world. He rather said, God so loved the world. John uses the same expression in his first epistle. 1 John 4:11 reads, Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. 1 John 4:10-11. It's quite true that there's a very definite sense in which God loved the human race and did not want for it to perish. The expression of that love, however, which is the whole point of loving, was inhibited by the sinful condition of men. God hates sin and cannot abide his presence. He confirmed this in the destruction of the world of Noah's day and the pouring forth of eternal fire upon Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain. He could not involve himself with men as they were. If it was not for his inscrutable wisdom, humanity would have remained in a hopeless condition. It is precisely because God's love is discretionary that this is so. No man can actually experience the love of God unless something is done about his sin. That's the situation, and it's precisely because God's love is not unconditional. Otherwise, the sinfulness of man would not have been an issue. God revealed to Moses and confirmed it through the prophets that he cannot simply overlook sin. He revealed to Moses that he was the God who will by no means clear the guilty. Exodus 34:7. He confirmed this through Nahum the prophet by again affirming the Lord will not at all acquit the wicked. Nahum 1:3. Now, as I've already said, there's no point to the love of God if it's not actually experienced. One may philosophize about God's great love, telling the people he loves everyone the same, loves them just the way they are, and that they cannot do anything to cause God to stop loving them. If that was true, then God does not hate anyone. Yet even Solomon, inferior in wisdom to Jesus, knew that God hates a false witness that speaks lies and he that sows discord among brethren. Proverbs 6:16. Do the proponents of the God loves everyone alike view advocate that we remove this text from our Bibles? And of the time that it was said of God, and he abhorred Israel, 1 Kings 11:26, or he greatly abhorred Israel, Psalm 78:59. Or therefore was the wrath of God kindled against his people insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance, Psalm 106:40. Just how does that fit into that view that says God's love is unconditional? Do not imagine that I'm being obnoxious in bringing this matter before the audience. When God is represented as having a certain attitude toward men, we will have to insist that the view be buttressed with the thus saith the Lord. Frankly, we're not willing to simply take your word for it. Now here's the manner in which God loved the world, not loves the world, but loved the world. He did it through Jesus Christ. His love toward men is not direct, but comes to them or is experienced by them through the Lord Jesus Christ. In the matter of giving his only begotten Son, God's love was primarily provisionary. That is, in his love, he provided a means through which men could actually experience his love. For divine love that is not experienced brings no benefit to men. Notice how John states the case. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. 1 John 3:16. We do not perceive or discern or comprehend the love of God by what he does to us, or what he gives us. It is seen in Jesus laying down his life for us. That is therefore a very real love, as confirmed in the magnitude of what Jesus did. However, that love must be acted upon by embracing the Son of God, hearing and keeping his words, and following after him at all cost. It is not right to tell people that God loves them so much. I often hear men say this, telling the people, God loves you so much. But this is not what the Lord has said. It is not the amount of love that God has for humanity that is accented, but the manner of love. That is what has moved him to do so. As it is written, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. That is upon those who are in Christ Jesus. This is bestowed or experienced love, not merely a provisional one. The manner or kind of this love is revealed in this, that we should be called the sons of God. Now that's a love that's absolutely not experienced except by those who are in Christ Jesus, who is the beloved of God. When it comes to God's love for humanity in general, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That is, he gave him as an offering for sin, as a Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. His love for the world is not seen in his care for them, or sympathy for them, or understanding them. It's seen in his provision for them, a provision that allowed for the removal of their sin and the conferment of righteousness upon them. His love is not exhibited in understanding what they're going through, or having a wonderful plan for their life in this world. Listener, here is how the love of God for Jesus comes into the picture. It's really Jesus who is most precious in his eyes and most loved by him. There's nothing about Jesus that God does not love. His love for him is so thorough that whoever is in Christ is loved by him also. God loves them because of their faith in Jesus and love for him. If the person abides in Christ, there's nothing that can separate them from the love of God. Thus it is written that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Absolutely nothing. However, there is a qualification put on that love, and it's found in Romans 8:39. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There in Christ Jesus is where God's love is focused. Now, there's something to think about.